What's up, guys? Welcome to the Underground Church Podcast. This is Abraham, and I'm here with my brother James.
What's going on, guys?
And today, we're going to talk about the bystander effect. So, James, I think we talked a lot about how in the church, people aren't fighting the culture war at all, and they're staying passive when new things are shifting the Overton window that we talked about last time, more and more towards the world and away from what's in the Bible. So one of the things I was thinking about this past week was what embodies that? What is a concept that can explain what in the world is going on in the church right now? And I came up with the bystander effect. Well, I didn't come up with this, but this is a very basic thing that you learn in psychology 101. But I think it's powerful because I think once people understand what's going on, they're going to have more of a power to fight that innate desire to, I guess, just be a bystander. So should we just get into this?
Yeah, and let's go ahead and really quickly define when you say that we're fighting this culture war. And the reason why we have to is because we live in this super sensitive culture right now where that word, fight, right, is going to trigger something negative in most people's mind because of the kind of indoctrination that a lot of people have been socially undergoing for so many decades now, as we always say, slowly boiling the frog, right? So when we say a word like fighting the culture war, immediately that triggers, oh, that's aggressive in people's minds. That's not being socially tactful and smooth, right? But that's not what we mean when we use that word. Think of it in terms of stand your ground, because that's what the Bible says, right? To stand. That is how we fight the spiritual war, right? So we're not going out there beating people up. We're not literally doing that. But what we are doing, guys, is you got to learn how to stand your ground. And also, don't be afraid. Don't censor yourself. We do have masks over our mouths now in public, but don't censor yourself from speaking out. So yeah, with that kind of clarified, go ahead, Abraham. Let's continue here.
Definitely. So basically, the bystander effect is a very classic property, I guess, of human beings. So what brought about this concept was a very famous incident in 1964. And there was a young woman, 28 years old, and she was stabbed to death outside of an apartment in New York City. And she had tons of neighbors, and a lot of people had their windows open, and no one even called the police. And so the basic, you know, there are a lot of reasons why this happens. One of the things is the diffusion of responsibility. And what that is you go, someone else is probably going to do it. You know, this is bad enough that, you know, our neighbor Jeff, who always talks about how the world should be a better place, Jeff's probably going to call the police. Also, social influence, that people aren't going to do what other people aren't doing. And those two effects make this very, very powerful, I guess, human tendency to just be a bystander. And personally, I think that's what's going on today. I think what's going on right now is, you know, so many of these, like even what you were talking about before, James, how people have made the whole term of fighting a spiritual war, fighting a culture war, has become so socially unacceptable. When in fact, if we look at biblically how God has worked through his people biblically, a huge chunk of the Bible is actually about war and is about fighting, you know, and it's for a lot of very good reasons, you know, and even Paul calls us Christians soldiers. It doesn't mean that we're going to be yelling at people or like James said, we're not punching people or anything like that, but it means to put on your armor, take up your sword, and to take a stand. I think as Christians, especially because our mission isn't just to be in a church and do the whole kumbaya thing and just sing songs and get together, let's just sing songs and make each other feel better. I think one of the goals of the church is to preach the gospel, is to share the gospel with people so that we can be winning souls. And that is not a place, the church is not a place for us to just be bystanders.
And to add something to that as well, right? A lot of Christians today, because of how we're brought up in church culture, many church cultures out there, especially in liberal leftist areas, okay, because I grew up in both. I spent time in a conservative state, and I also spent time in a very liberal state when I was growing up. And, you know, in particular for liberal areas, church culture becomes a way to train your outward appearance and your conduct, your outward show of behavior, that you are this nice person, or we use the term nice guy, right? Mm-hmm. And that what that does is it's the separation from what's going on inside of you and also from how you would behave away outside of church. So away from church, when you're just hanging out with your friends or you're in the world, now suddenly you put on this different persona, or, you know, maybe you could even be a little bit more authentic and it seems like you're being more raw or something, right? And that's supposedly inappropriate when you put on your church persona, right? Because that's the nice guy persona. And see, other people think, even non-Christians, when they look at us now, they think that Christians are just these passive, sometimes doormats, right? And, oh, he's a Christian. Oh, you're like a holy, holy Christian guy. And you have these TV shows, right, that always have like somebody who has a Bible and they're, you know, they're socially awkward. So that's a common attack on Christianity. That is a subtle way that they are fighting Christians, is they're trying to paint us in that light. And it's not entirely like, guys, you got to realize this. This is not entirely the lost world's fault. It's partially due to Christian culture and Christian churches, because we put on that nice guy persona and we think that that's what being a Christian is. And so that goes along with being very passive and being a bystander. But remember, guys, that being a Christian is being transformed from the inside out, starting with the renewing of your mind. It's not becoming this clean outward image. What it's becoming is you're becoming more authentic. That's what the Bible says. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, right? Mm. So yeah, guys, that's why oftentimes what we're trying to do in this podcast is we're trying to show both the Christian culture and churches these days, as well as the lost world, right? That's not what being a Christian is. Being a Christian is not just this outfit that we put on once a week when we go to church on Sunday. We're real people and we're not pushovers. We're not doormats. That's not even what the Bible teaches. If you want to cherry pick something out of the Bible and you want to try to make that argument, you're probably taking, you know, those nice guy verses out of context. But if you take the Bible as a whole, right, that's not what we're about as Christians. So that's what we're trying to do here, is we're trying to, hopefully we have this podcast, we have this channel, people can come to us, they can listen to us, and they can say, these are real dudes. But yeah, so we're trying to show you guys that being a Christian is not about putting up some kind of, sorry to say, but some kind of fake outward appearance, while everybody knows that that's not how you really are on the inside and around certain people, right? Away from that setting, that compartmentalized setting. No, being a Christian is about how God fundamentally changes you from the inside out. And it's this relationship that you have with God. And hopefully, as God transforms you, you become somebody that looks different from the world. That's the goal. Doesn't always happen to saved Christians, but that is the goal. And so, yeah, you know, because we've separated it into this compartmentalized thing where, you know, yeah, I go to church on Sunday and I put on that clean outward image, got to show everybody that I'm this wholesome person, right? And now we got this separation going on where it's easy to just be in this passive bystander mode. Here's the reason why. If we're actually being transformed from the inside out, and we're kind of the same anywhere we go, right? You don't have to share every aspect of your life with every single group. That's not what I'm saying, but more or less, it's kind of congruent, right? You're kind of the same in different settings and people know you. That's who you are. You're this Christian guy, and yet he's real. When that happens, guys, that's where you're going to have the strength to know who you are in relation to your environment, that you can take these stands. Because otherwise, when you're just practiced at compartmentalizing yourself, oh, now I'm putting on my church behavior, right? Now it becomes easy to just be this bystander and to go with the flow when you're practiced at putting on some kind of a compartmentalized outfit, right? Then it becomes easy because you can, why? Because you can detach that part of you and that behavior that goes with the flow of society. You can detach that from your actual identity in Christ. Okay, guys, so that's why I always say, you know, it's important that there is some level of authenticity. And here's the crazy thing, if I can say this, is that in many churches today, they even kind of preach out against authenticity. Oh, that's, you got to watch that authentic, transparent behavior, man, in favor of retaining this compartmentalized outward appearance. See, now we're getting towards this Pharisee stuff, right? Where what was presented on the outside, they can say it's for God all they want. The Pharisees said that too, right? But when there's such a disconnection and a separation between what's going on the outside and what's going on the inside, that now you think that it's bad to be transparent about what's going on the inside just because it's not always perfect, I disagree with that. I think that you don't have to be transparent about everything all the time. But if you put it up against the times that we live in, right, where there's all this censorship and fear and compartmentalization in order to accept some of the crazy things that are going on, because there's no way that you can accept a lot of these things unless you compartmentalize your character to accept them. And so that's why I think it is important. What we're trying to do here is we're trying to show, like, look, Christians, we are not perfect. We're striving to always walk close with God and walk in the Spirit. But our lives are stories in and of themselves, and they include ups and downs, right? There are interesting aspects and flaws in our characters, and that's what makes people interesting, right? That's what makes it interesting that you're not just looking at somebody like, wow, look at this perfect person that never makes any mistakes, right? That's kind of silly. And so this is a way to not only try to get some authenticity back into church culture, but also it's a way to reach the lost world and show them, hey guys, we're not these squeaky clean, you know, sheltered church kids who are just walled off from all of the troubles of the world. Because a lot of people think that that's what Christians are. Not the case, guys. Okay, so yes, we do strive to be holy and growing in our relationship with Christ and walking in the Spirit. But along the way, it's important to kind of show, like, this is who I am. This is what's going on. It's okay to communicate that and be honest about certain things. So yeah, guys, bringing it back to the bystander effect here, that is ultimately, I believe, the primary solution for the bystander effect, is that we have to start getting real with ourselves and with others around us. Believe it or not, that's probably one of the main solutions, right?
Absolutely. Because, you know, what's the truth? Let's call this the Christian bystander effect. The truth is that your coworkers, your neighbors, your classmates, the people that you encounter in your day-to-day lives, you don't know if they're going to heaven or not, or if they're going to hell. This started with a very, very serious thing. The bystander effect was, I guess, discovered, or was first defined because of this murder. And every day, we're encountering people that might, once they die, might be going to hell. And as a Christian, if that doesn't do anything inside of you, if that doesn't kind of compel you to go, huh, you know, am I being a bystander? Because if you just think that, or if you just talk with your coworker and not even think that, you know, when eternity comes, where is he or she gonna go? You know, does he or she understand the gospel that saves, the gospel of grace, or do they not? And I think that's key, because if you're not doing that, you're a bystander. If you're not doing that, especially as a Christian, what are you doing? Should you even be calling yourself a Christian? Or, like James said, are you just putting the facade of being a Christian? Are you just making this mask of yourself so that you feel good? So that you feel good doing your own thing? And are you ignoring the cold, hard reality of what it means to be a Christian? To understand that we understand the gospel, and so many people in the world don't. And actually, so many people don't even know the gospel. They just think being a Christian means just going to church and setting your life straight. You know, that's why whenever I evangelize, a lot of people, when I bring up the gospel before I actually outline the gospel, they go, hey, I don't need that. I don't need to be set straight. I'm living a good life. That response, I think, shows that that person does not understand the gospel. And especially if you're out there being a Christian and repping the fact that you're a Christian, oh, you know, I can't do this work thing because I have Wednesday night Bible study, or I have Bible study on Friday, or I can't do this thing on Sunday because I have church. Why don't you come to church with me? You know, all that, sure, all that's well and good, but are you really just acting a Christian, or are you just being a Christian bystander? Are you sharing with them the cold, hard reality of the world as you know it and as the Bible says? Because if you're not, you're a bystander. You're letting this just happen. You're not even planting the seed of the gospel. So one of the recent kind of headlines that popped up while I was thinking about this was this guy, Timothy J. Gordon. And this is about cancel culture. So basically this guy was, not only was he a pillar of his community, he was a high school teacher at a Catholic high school. And he was very well known in, I guess, his city, his community, and he was considered a community leader. And he did not agree with the BLM movement. And he said so. He stood up and went, I don't agree with this. And he got canceled. He got fired. And even moving away from all the details of his firing, why I want to talk about this in terms of the bystander effect is all of his church members, the people, the parents of the students that he was teaching, that he was close with, the members of his community did nothing, did absolutely nothing. They were bystanders. Further, American conservatives rarely, if ever, circle the wagons around the few champions of the West who are willing to fight. Envying the dauntless courage of such midnightly few, the people that stand up for God and stand up for the truth, the cowards on the right practically celebrate the downfall of the unaided resistors in their midst. So he's saying that a lot of the people in the church who should be supporting the people that are standing for truth, are standing for God, are being cowards. They're being just bystanders that just let it happen. Because let's keep it real, you guys. No one came up to help this guy. And if someone in your church, if someone in your community, if a Christian in your community that was actually standing up for truth, would you back him or her up? Or would you just go, oh, you know, I think someone else is just going to do it. Or no one's making any movement, so I'm not really going to do anything. Which one are you going to
be? Yeah, I think most people are concerned about keeping their... I mean, we've talked about this in the last podcast, right? It's a big problem, I think, in the world of Christianity. People need to keep good relations in the social position they already have. Especially for someone who has been in one social group for a long period of time, and they're kind of established and everybody in that group knows them. Now it's just comfortable and it's just kind of like locked into place, right? And so, yeah, it's kind of this thing where when something new happens or some new truth is being considered, they're going to look around at everybody around them and see, what does everybody else think first, right? Because it's all center focus. It's all selfish. It's all, you know, how is this going to affect me in relationship to my group? And that's all. So it's all protective about your social class, your social identity, what other people are going to think about you if you shift on your position. And it's just this hyper, you know, it's just hyper focus on yourself. It's so funny because people like that must think that they're caring about the group and other people, but it's like, no, not really. That's it's backwards, right? What you're really doing, if you boil it down, is you're really just kind of, okay, how am I going to be affected by this in the end, right? I need to keep a good placement here. Everybody needs to, you know, we talked about that a little bit last time, and that's what I think creates the bystander effect. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, I mean, last time we talked about the Overton window and how a lot of us are ignorant of the cultural changes that are going on in the day-to-day life because it's difficult sometimes to look back and just to have a bird's eye view of, okay, how is the culture shifting? And in this case, I think in this particular example, this guy says it really well. He says that his firing is the perfect test case for measuring just how cowardly Christians can be. He says perfect test case for measuring the profundity of conservative Christian cowardice. And I think at a certain point, once you're aware of the Overton window, once you know what's going on in the world, once you know that there is a spiritual and cultural war going on right now, at what point does our inaction become an act of cowardice? And you have to understand that if we keep letting this happen, if we don't even sharpen ourselves to be ready for situations like this, at what point can we call ourselves Christian soldiers? Or at what point do we have to just own up? Like, what does it mean to be fake as a Christian? Like you were talking about, you know, like we know what fake Christianity looks like. And I think the reason you were talking about being authentic, that's such an important point, because I think it's gone so far the other way that I think a lot of people don't know what it looks like when a Christian keeps it real. Isn't that true?
Yeah, that's right, man.
Because
from a young age and a lot of social cultures, people don't realize how they're indoctrinated into these cultures, because what happens is maybe their parents were indoctrinated into a certain social culture when their parents were young. And so their parents don't realize how they were indoctrinated, right? And so what their parents do, of course, this does not extend across all aspects of their parenting. They could be good parents doing many things right, right? But here's the thing, guys. It's very prevalent in our culture right now that people are shamed for being themselves, for being authentic and being transparent. And we know this because we have testimonies of friends that they've pretty much told us this, right? Abraham, we're not going to name any names, but we have, you know, it's people see this podcast, for example, they think it's just James and Abraham on the podcast. No, we have our group of friends too, guys. It's just those guys are not all on the podcast, right? So there's a bunch of us. But yeah, there's something that they've told us, as they said, especially in the leftist liberal area, people punish you if you're too authentic about things, right? And I know that too, because there's that thing, don't say that. Don't say that in front of other people, you know? And it's just like, why? Some things need to be said, and they're not going to be squeaky clean and perfect, but they need to be addressed. Otherwise, it becomes an elephant in the room, right? And so you're not evil or wrong, or you shouldn't be embarrassed and ashamed about talking about many things that people are these days. And because people are silent on those very things, that's how the enemy moves, guys, because we don't do anything about it. And now the people who finally do, like now we're late in the game and some people actually do step up. They're not a bystander anymore. They speak out about certain things, right? And it's you know, the indoctrination has gotten so crazy that some Christians are actually trying to turn on those people. Oh, they don't get it, guys. They don't get what we're socially doing now. This new social thing that was not the case back in the days, right? This new thing, guys, where we're all speaking purely in euphemisms, right? That's what they're doing. It's a very popular thing. This started to become popular a lot more when I was in my early college years. And I remember that before then, even as a senior in high school, right, that style of communicating, like everything has to be now under the radar. Censor it, guys. It's too harsh. Ooh, too offensive, right? This kind of cancel culture that we're talking about right now really can be traced back to how that started to filter in to social culture, you know? Ooh, that's offensive to somebody. You can't just outright state that opinion like that. So what you have to do is you have to create this alternative way of saying it, which is a euphemism. And we can even reference an atheist comedian, I think he was. So obviously, we're not espousing any of his viewpoints or anything like that, but he was a comedian and his name was George Carlin. And George Carlin was warning everybody about this a long time ago before he died. He was like, we've replaced accurate terminology for things with euphemisms that soften their meaning and they soften the blow of them. And what that does is it puts everybody under this delusion about how they view things around them, that they're actually not as bad as they really are. And one of the examples he used was for soldiers that came back from war, and some soldiers were on the front lines, and these guys had something initially called shell shock. And what George Carlin said was that is really accurate and honest language to describe exactly what it is. It's shell shock, right? Two syllables, very simple. And then it became, they kept changing the name of that over time to soften it to where now it became post-traumatic stress disorder, right? So now it's like many more syllables. Sounds like a bunch of scientific jargon, but it doesn't have that honest, accurate description of shell shock. Just like how we described earlier in this podcast, where we're like, we're trying to fight this cultural war. People are like, ooh, that's aggressive, right? See, people don't realize how they've been brainwashed and indoctrinated slowly over time to be so incredibly passive. And anything transparent, anything direct, anything out in the open, anything accurately, openly stating, hey, this is what's going on right now, right? What do people attribute to that? I know this because I know leftist areas. I know this. They say, oh, look at this person. He's trying to take the power, right? That's a very popular one, bro. Abraham, you could back me up on this, right? Yeah. Isn't that real? When somebody starts speaking with authority in those areas, oh, look at this guy. He just wants the power. It's like, what are you talking about? So see, but they don't really realize that what they've done is they become so passive and they have zero responsibility to change anything. They have to go with the flow, this subtle communist ideology, right? So now anybody who kind of speaks out and has a little bit of an independent thought here or there, hey, I don't like that over there. That doesn't make sense to me. If you start saying these things, ooh, you're creating waves and division. Right? Or you're speaking with such authority. Oh, you just want the power over things or some crazy nonsense. And that is a very common response that will come against. And it's totally false, right? Totally false. All that person is doing is just kind of like looking around him or herself and honestly saying, oh, hey, this is what's going on right now. Right, guys? But because of the way everybody has been censored, that's how it's so easy, by the way, for certain powers that be to just herd around everybody like they're a bunch of sheep. And it doesn't matter if they go against our constitution. No, no, no. It's fine because you have to go with the flow. And anything that is remotely more assertive, not even aggressive, just that might go against the flow. Ooh, that's causing waves, guys. There's other ways to go about it. Why don't you find a soft euphemism to try and change people? Well, if you notice, those soft euphemisms don't change anybody. What they do is they maintain that communist style order. Right, guys? So I feel like hopefully what we're doing with this podcast is we're slowly waking people up to things like this. The Borg, the hive mind, or whatever they're trying to create. But yeah, Abraham.
I think one of the things that you hit the nail on the head on is the euphemisms. Because in a lot of these cultures, it is almost impossible to communicate without using euphemisms. And euphemisms are a way to, they say it's a way to soften the truth, but in fact, it's a way to twist the truth in a way where other people who aren't accustomed to accepting the truth so that they don't get their feelings hurt. And this, in a lot of these people are in these euphemistic states where they can't speak, that they physically can't speak the truth. And that is a representation of people self-deluding themselves. If you can't even be truthful between you and God, my goodness, where are you right now? If you can't admit
yourself.
That's
right. And don't use everybody else around you as a gauge to say that that's okay. Because believe it or not, we could live in times of apostasy, right? In which case you should not use your social crowd around you as a gauge. Everybody else is doing it. That's okay. What happens when the Bible says there's going to be a falling away from the faith. There will come a time where they will not endure sound doctrine, right? So what happens if you just happen to be in that time? First of all, do you think that people who are in the falling away know that they're in the falling away? They don't know that, guys. Okay, they think that they're in right with God. Okay, that's not the definition of falling ways. They're not all in churches consciously like, yeah, guys, we have false doctrine and, we're doing it all messed up. They don't think that about themselves, right? They think that they're doing it just right. And so when the falling away happens, they're not going to really know, right? So that's why it's never a good idea to just measure yourself in relation to your culture or whatever. Got to think of yourself as somebody who is going to influence culture because you got this treasure. We have this treasure, right? We are the salt and the light. In earthen vessels, we have this treasure, guys, right? You're going around and you're sharing this treasure with people. We have a very important message, an eternal message that can change the eternal destiny of souls where on one hand, they might go down and according to what the Bible says, right, you could burn in hell forever. That's very serious. Okay, so if we have a message that we're carrying for these people, that's very, you got to think of yourself as a cultural influencer, not somebody who is just a bystander who doesn't want his culture to be upset, right? Because a lot of these people, I'm telling you, bro, it's crazy. You could see the difference between like the real Christians and these, like, for lack of a better word, these like megachurch culture Christians that we know, a lot of them. A lot of these people, they get pissed off, man, when you start to rattle their cage. they get really hyper defensive, like, oh my gosh, don't say that. Da, da, da. It's crazy, man. It's a crazy thing.
Also, they cry. They cry a lot.
They do. They cry. They throw fits. They throw temper tantrums. We're talking literally about full grown adults here. This is literally what they do. We have witnessed these things. Okay. This is what's going on in these like leftist areas. And yeah, man. So just wanted to point that out. It's so crazy. It's like the truth has become their enemy. Their idol is that they have to maintain the harmony of their culture, even though their culture has drifted so far out there into this leftist world that is anti-God and anti-Christian. That's why they so passively just tolerate everything that's going on. They just tolerate it. Oh yeah, that's what's happening now. I'm not going to say anything, whatever, you know. I'll just pray about it and then go about, I need to keep my job and just keep my peace of mind about me, man. Got to keep making these bills. And I mean, who? It's like they got these worldly goals that are not going to really bring them any real long-lasting fulfillment. I mean, if you're honest about it, and yet you have this treasure in an earthen vessel and you're not doing anything with that. You're not shining as the light. You're not salt. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, guys, just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, like James was saying, I think this phrase is very important. Cowardice is not humility. And you can try to euphemize all you want and try to twist cowardice to make it sound or look like humility, being humble. But if you really want to not be a bystander, if you really want to be a Christian, and if you really want to be the salt and the light of the earth, then it's time to admit to yourself where you are currently, right now. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. So you want to close us out, James?
Sure. So guys, this has been the Underground Church Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Join us next time. We'll see you later.
Later.